You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, and we hope you have a great Kwanzaa and a Happy New Year.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting on Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Catsey, Coquitlam, and Stoll First Nations lands. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands. We thank them with humility for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Happy fucking Christmas. It's a time of year. If you're like me and you don't care about Christmas, welcome to the show. If you're not like me and you like Christmas, also welcome to the show. Next year is, or like, you know, around the corner, next week is gonna be next year. And 2023 has, like many years, for a person who is chronically unwell in the mind, it was hard. It wasn't fun. There were a lot of points that weren't fun. But there were small things that I experienced in my life that re-sparked some, wow, wonder and excitement in life for me. At least it tethered me in some way. And so this week, in the spirit of acknowledging that yet another year is about to come at me, and I will experience yet another year of brain issues, likely mental issues, I'm gonna try to remind myself what some of the things that I enjoyed this year were, so I could be like, hey, it wasn't all that bad. It sounds a little bit bleak. I promise you, it's not. This is not a bleak episode. It is actually going to be one exercised in the spirit of reflection and some joy. Today's playlist is pretty simple as well. How do I explain it? These are songs that I listened to throughout the year that I thought were pretty banging. They may have very closely made it to my top songs of the year. I think actually at least one or two here are some of my top songs of the year. But I had listened to them and I was like, hey, it ain't bad. Gotta share some with you. You've heard some of this this music before, and maybe you haven't. Either way, please enjoy. Here's the first track, very much not of the season. This is Summer Sun by Plains.
When the summer sun melts candles, I dig out the wick. Honey, we're up against something our love alone can't fix. So I won't see the garden or the figs when they are ripe. It hurts to be leaving, but I know
Kept spinning and I danced myself to death.
driving around in the backseat of a car. I'll be your demon daddy.
Choreomania by Florence and the Machine. Before that, you heard True Apart by Giants and Ravine. My name is Leslie, and you are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Today's playlist is songs that I listened to that I had enjoyed at one part of the year. They could have made, I guess, like if I made like a top maybe like 20 songs of the year of 2023, they would have made it in there. But closer towards the 10 to 20, which is still good. You know, I have to listen to a lot of music for the show sometimes, and you hear a lot of duds. Well, duds as in stuff that I don't like, and then there's a lot of really, there's some bangers, and these are some of those bangers. Today I am talking about stuff that kept me tethered to 2023. When you are, let me just explain real quick. When you are a person who experiences like some form of chronic illness, sometimes it is very hard to be like, yay, I'm looking forward to the day. A few years ago, I was working with a counselor who encouraged me to start practicing gratitude. And so now every night before I go to sleep, I think about three things that I'm grateful for. Sometimes they are great experiences. Sometimes it's just very basic, simple things that I have to truly say that I'm grateful for. But, you know, when you have chronic, long-term, unyielding mental illness, sometimes practicing only one form of self-reflection, like a tool of self-reflection, is not always efficient, or it's not always sufficient. So this year, I also started to write in a note on my phone things, experiences that I had that helped take some of the edge off. They kept me going in some way. Maybe I looked forward to reading the next chapter of a book. Maybe this was an album that I found myself sort of wiggling to. Maybe this was like a dish that somebody made for me that I really, really enjoyed. And upon reflection of these items, I guess this is kind of like a response to my show last week where I talked extensively about seasonal affective disorder. When I look back at this note, I really am grateful for these experiences that I had, because in some way they did help me move towards the next part of the year. So here we go. I've sorted them out kind of by category, and you can think of this, the listener, as like some of the things that I liked in this year that I would recommend maybe you check out. Starting off with one thing, which is that I developed a habit of reading more. I read on transit now, and I'm usually reading a novel. And it's great because I have not read novels since probably high school. I started off this year by reading a CanCon Indigenous Con classic, Indian Horse by Richard Wagamese. And it made my January a little bit better. It was just so dreary during January, and I had started reading it, I think, in kind of like the later weeks of that month. And it really helped me move through that. I had enjoyed that experience, so I started to read Honey Butter Pig Bread by Francesca Equiasi. This is a book that I have been thinking about for the past couple of years. And I just happened to come across it at the library, and I picked it up. And it is one of the best decisions that I've made this year. I will not stop recommending Honey Butter Pig Bread to anyone, especially if you're a queer femme. I'm going to recommend this to you, and you're going to hear me talk nonstop about it. It is so vivid. It is so dreamy. It is about a kind of supernatural family drama. And it reminded me that, yes, indeed, one of my favorite genres of fiction are a family drama. It was so good that I burned through this novel. And to put the cherry on top, I even told my mother about the book, which is something that I usually don't do. But I had to tell her about what I was reading. I had to tell her because I was so into it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't put it down. One of the final novels that I really enjoyed this year reading was Matrix by Lauren Groff. And it's hard for me to explain what it exactly is, but I suppose you could say it's a women's utopia novel. Set in, I think, 12th century France. It's got religion, it's got Christianity in it, it's got nuns, it's really gay, and I would have not expected to ever enjoy such a book about a gay nun. That's not true. I would have, but I would not have expected to enjoy a book that was so heavy with writing. There's pretty much no dialogue. Like, there's no talking in the book. It's just experience upon experience. And it's kind of dense. But it is so worth it. It's not very long. I would really recommend Matrix by Lauren Groff for folks who love a story about women. Speaking about stories about women, one of my favorite graphic novels that I read this year was Talk to My Back by Yamada Murasaki. It's considered one of the pioneering stories of so-called feminist manga in Japan. It was written in the 1980s, and it is about a housewife trying to navigate the life of being a housewife. I'm really happy to have gotten my hands on it. I was really interested in reading it when Drawn and Quarterly had announced that they were going to publish it. And I'm glad that I did. Feminist manga sometimes is such a gem because a lot of it is independently published and it's a little bit harder to get your hands on it at times. And it's often discredited by a lot of mainstream voices in the industry and in the audience. It's exciting to read stuff about gender in manga. And the other graphic novel, actually not so much a graphic novel, but the other author that I really enjoyed reading this year was Keila Roberts. I had read Sunburning, and I had also read My Begging Chart. I'm gonna read the rest of Keila Roberts' books. If you like sardonic writing, slice of life, stories that are semi-autobiographical, Keila Roberts is the one. I laughed out loud on transit many times while going through her books. And I remember a period in summer that was particularly quite difficult for me. And I think the whole week I probably hadn't really cracked a real smile. There was this one page in, I think, My Begging Chart, where Keila Roberts is holding her kid. Her kid is like leaning back and Roberts goes, "Jesus Christ, look out." And her kid comes back up and goes, "Haha, you just called me Jesus." You gotta read it to get it. If you didn't laugh at that, the memory of it is so funny to me. Oh my goodness. I'm totally looking forward to anything else that she's written. And to wrap up the section, I would say one of my favorite things this year is just reading. It has just been reading. That is such a small thing. It is such a nothing experience in some ways. But this hobby that I used to enjoy as a child, that I had no capacity to engage in for nearly 10 years, came back. And it helped me in some of the worst times of my life this year. I just can't begin to describe how absolutely inane that feels, and then also the level of gratitude that I feel. It's a pretty humbling experience. I am going to play some more music now. It got a little bit too real. Here is Voyager by Pool Blood.